Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's installment of I Can't Read. I'm Paul.
And I'm Tony.
And we have
Willis Gordon
back on the podcast. All right. Now, I know you have a lot to talk about Spectre and Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of other shit. But real quick, some news. Civil War trailer drop. Thoughts?
Oh, yes. Oh, it looks good.
Get right up in that, man.
It looks good.
It dropped
good.
Hard.
Yeah. Black Panther looks sick.
He does. It looks very cool. And not only this, I just want to mention how big the Marvel Universe is at this point now. And I'm not talking about in terms of scale or anything like that, but how popular it is. If you type in Civil War into
it eclipses
YouTube,
the Civil War.
It eclipses the American Civil War. Like, little dorks in the South reenacting the Civil War are like third on the list now. And it's just Captain America running around trying to find his friend. And also, I feel like everybody who's been responding to Marvel, to Doctor Who, to Sherlock, all the fandom people there, all the writers for these things now have actually been reading their own Tumblrs now.
Oh, wow.
Have been, like, searching their stuff. I guarantee it. Because all, like, the weird, like, homosexual tension has been coming up in these shows, like, after the fact. Because, like, I looked in the trailer and I went back. And Captain America is, like, looking at Tony.
Like, oh, okay.
There's the whole
like
thing
Tony
with Steve
or?
And Tony. There's a whole thing about Steve and Tony in, like,
Bucky.
the Tumblr thing. And he's like, you know, well, you know, I hate to do this, but he's my friend. And then they, like, go cut to Iron Man in his helmet. And he's like, so was I.
Dude, that's the sickest fucking line. I was,
and
like,
I was,
oh,
like,
I'm in. Here's all my,
like,
money.
I was like, oh, God. And I was like, wait, that's a little gay. And I was like, that's
you're leaving me for a new
they're
person?
Fucking
right.
They're buddies,
and
man.
I know they're buddies, but I feel like they see the Tumblr thing, which has, you know, a ton of kids in Canada and the United States drawing them as butt buddies.
No, oh, yeah, for
and,
sure.
And so it's like, oh, well, let's throw them a bone and, like, give them a wink in the trailer. You know what I mean? So I feel like there's a bunch of people going, ah!
I got you. All right, right on. What were your highlights from it, Tone? I love that line
from
him being like, we were friends, or I was your friend. I love that fucking line. And his delivery on it's fucking sick.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, I really liked seeing
them beating up Cap.
That was the
two
best
on two.
Part.
I was like, fuck.
Yeah,
oh.
Two
watching
on one.
Bucky and Cap share the
on,
shield
yeah.
and
yeah,
shit.
That was
like
awesome.
Was pretty tight. And like Iron Man pretty much looking like there are shots of him inside his suit bloodied up. Like,
yeah,
as if like maybe he
got knocked
fucked
around
up by Bucky,
yeah,
and then got in his suit or something.
Or, well, I mean, if you saw Avengers and Iron Man 3 and all that stuff, that suit is not padded on the inside, apparently.
Yeah.
So if he's, like, getting rocked around in that thing, he's hitting his face on metal. So,
oh, yeah, I imagine.
Which is not
the whole
smart.
Design, the whole design together is
kinda
a tin can.
Yeah.
A tin can around
that's
a human.
Not smart.
just something that's strong enough just crunches his ass up.
That's what I'm saying. Never meet Magneto. Like, never
he'd be fucked. Well, good thing Fox owns that.
Yeah, exactly.
Close one.
I really dug Black Panther. Looks fucking awesome. I hope they give him a little cape in Act 3.
Well, I also saw, like, all the Scarlet Witch was in it, and I didn't see
Scarlett Johansson was in it too, right?
Yeah, Black Widow.
Black Widow, yeah. She was, what are you going to arrest
Falcon.
Me?
Falcon.
She's obviously on Tony's side.
Well,
that's what I'm guessing.
I feel like she's the.
I know Falcon's with Cap.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think.
Well, I'd do to fucking follow him anywhere.
She is supposed to be. What's Robin from How I Met Your Mother? What's her name?
I know who you're talking about. Agent.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah.
Carter.
No. Not that's.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. She works for Shield.
Yeah. I can't remember her name.
She
but
pretty much took over Coulson's spot
in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
In the Civil War comic, if you guys remember, that was kind of the position that Black Widow is in now, where it's like, I'm gonna have to bring you in, and like, if you don't, like, I'm your friend, and
but
I really
have to
want,
do it.
But
yeah, it's my
this
job.
This is my job,
mm-hmm.
and my job supersedes friendships because this is all I have.
And it seems like the catalyst for fucking for Civil War is Bucky being blamed for something instead of the attack on the school that happened in the comic.
Right. So it seems like the whole
Thunderbolt.
I feel like this is just Winter Soldier part due. Like, I feel like it's just like, so I'm like, okay, well, here you go.
How many civil wars are there going to be?
One. I feel like
it's going to be just...
It's this storyline, though. They're trying to make them...
But Civil War is not a monster amount of comic dialogue, or...
No, Civil War had, like, a lot... Like, it was the whole Marvel Universe that had one main storyline, but then every book of that month had Civil War.
Yeah, had Civil War. The shockwaves went through.
Okay. Yeah, and they
so
had, like,
there will be,
parts.
Like, the mention in later movies about the Civil War breach.
Yeah. It'll be, like, how in all the Marvel TV shows now, they talk about New York.
The incident.
Yeah.
That's what they call it in fucking Jessica Jones and shit.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, I'm fucking stoked for it. And I like the take on it that they're going with. And not only that, they're like, DC's like, watch Superman versus Batman. And Marvel's like, watch our whole fucking universe fight itself. Yeah. They really came with a swing and punch.
Until Thanos gets here.
There's no Hulk. There's no Thor. There's no, you know, they're holding off. But I feel like it's not going to happen in the movies, folks, but in the book, Thor is either dead or, like, in the Odin sphere. Like, I can't remember where
in
he was.
In Civil War?
Yeah.
I can't remember. I don't remember
he was
him
hanging somewhere else.
He's dead or he's somewhere else.
X-Men, like, decided to stay out of it. I don't remember Thor being in it, though. Yeah, it's been a
while
since I read it.
Thor left the planet, or he was dead, or something happened. But Tony Stark, when he first met Thor, like, pulled out a lock of his hair. Like, pulled out a couple strands of hair.
That's cute.
And then, like, put it and kept it. And he kept it because he's like, he's a god, just in case.
Oh, yeah.
And so they cloned him, or they made, like,
remember that. Yeah, that sounds really familiar.
And the android is what, or the android clone type thing is what kills the giant, the dude who can grow and shrink and the
Ant-Man?
No.
You're talking about not the Indian guy, right?
No. It's a black guy, can grow really tall, can grow really big. I'm sure it's in the encyclopedia. But he
they don't
grows
have like a giant section. So.
He grows and he comes back down to normal size, but he fights. And Thor kills him in one of the fights, and that's when it's like, okay, now it's serious. Because they were just kind of kicking each other's ass before.
Yeah.
And then they kill him. So I'm wondering if...
Somebody's got to die in this movie.
Right.
I hope they give us stakes, because it's not just like, oh, everyone's bruised and we're all cool now. We hugged it out. Give us something, you know?
But Marvel refuses to kill characters.
What about War Machine?
Well, not when they make money.
Coulson came back.
Yeah, that was weird. They were like, just kidding.
Coulson came back, and then none of the heroes mentioned him again. Nobody seemed to realize that he's alive.
But I heard the reason for that was because Cap, they all kind of wore the Avengers for Coulson, so they never wanted to tell them that. Like, that's what made them all kind of go, was his death. So I think that's why they kind of kept it under wraps from them.
Now, what happens if Captain America bumps into him at
Chipotle? Hey.
Or, like, S.H.I.E.L.D., like, you know, in the cafeteria, like, wait, you're fucking alive? Like,
the cafeteria. He's in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. I mean, like, shit.
On Taco Tuesday.
Right. You know, like, the fuck are you doing with a walking taco? You're supposed to be dead.
I am. He just starts doing, like, a shitty ghost voice. Ghost. I heard about this doing Tremors TV show.
Yeah, I heard about
that. Starring fucking Kevin Bacon.
Wow. Starring the Bacon?
I'm so in, dude.
He must need money.
That's going to be so good.
It's going to be hopefully made up as, like a sort of
Ash vs. The Evil Dead.
Sci-fi comedy?
Yeah, Ash vs. The Evil Dead. They go that route with it. Oh, fucking, they're going to do so well with it. Tremors is so rad. Tremors
the
is
first
so
Tremors
good.
Is so Tremors. Rad.
Yeah. I didn't say Aftershock was a fucking brilliant word.
Tremors 3 still having that same guy, that
bad
gun nut guy that
well, no,
won't
and
quit
the,
him.
And the other dude, too.
Bert, that guy came back, too.
What yeah, he's
name.
In all of them.
Bert.
Hey, Bert. Well, I just watched Archer with Burt Reynolds.
Yes! Oh my god, you don't understand. Archer was a fucking deliverance for me, man.
Dude, Archer's fantastic.
Archer's got a purdy mouth. Sorry, you said deliverance.
Because, it was because Burt Reynolds and, you know.
Yeah, deliverance, yeah.
It was so great because I love the whole spy genre. You guys know I love the
spy
genre.
You're big into it.
And it took, like, because when I was a kid, the only reason that Austin Powers was as funny as it was to me is because I had seen all the 70s.
Oh,
James
so you
Bond
got
movies.
All the fucking, like,
so
spoofs.
I got every single reference in there, and I was just howling laughing. And I was like, this is great.
This 7-year-old is so cultured. I don't even get these references.
This is so funny. And so then it was one of those things where it was more adult, and then it made references to other shit that you can tell. It's like it was... Certain people, like the whole Netflix feature, like, oh, if you enjoyed this, then check these movies out. The reason they came up with that is because there are people like that in the world. where yeah. it's like, oh, we enjoy the same thing. And it's like, you may be new to this, so let me show you all this other shit. But if you're yeah. not, you find your best friend.
And so, like, so that's what you found in Archer.
And so the writers are like, oh, yeah, we like the spy stuff, too. But then they make, like, a Steve McQueen reference. Like, they talk about his worship of Burt Reynolds. They talk yeah. about the whole thing. Like, they talked about Gator, like, three times in that
oh,
movie.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm talking sequel to Gator. He's like, Gator was a sequel.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. Because, like, White Lightning was the first movie, and then they made Gator was the sequel. And I was like, Airboats, yes, absolutely. Like, I get exactly what you're saying, because Burt Reynolds is the man.
Isn't Airboat like a plane?
No.
No, it floats on water and swampland.
Yeah, oh, it's basically okay. those things oh, like, yeah. the like, fan in the back. And
pontoon
yeah.
boat?
Yeah, you sit
yeah.
on there. And
yeah.
It's just badass.
Hunting gators.
It yeah, just looks just, awesome just, for hunting gators.
Yeah, it's great.
That's the main use. It intimidates the gator.
No, it makes it so you don't
I
cut
understand.
Up a gator
yeah.
with
yeah.
a propeller.
So you keep it.
Yeah.
All right. What's happened? What? Do you have any news?
I just the only news I said I was going to say was
Civil
I saw
War,
Force Awakens was PG-13, which duh.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm stoked.
That well, was an official official because it got finished officially last week.
Once they started putting out Harry Potter's PG-13, Star Wars had to follow suit. Come on.
Well, I thought Revenge of the Sith was PG-13.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. For sure. Because they fucking do all that horrible shit to Anakin.
Yeah.
Lady
yeah.
dies, oh, giving so birth, horrible. A broken heart. Fucking
You're
lights that dude.
Hurt, Anakin.
Oh, Annie.
The murder of children wasn't enough for that.
Yeah, 30, yeah, yeah. I was about to say.
Oh, there's this.
Yeah.
There's a
the
meme
younglings.
Of
oh, my God. Yeah,
of him
this
handing
is your father's
lightsaber.
He killed 30 children with it. Also, like, I maimed him before I took
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's so nostalgic. Yeah. He's like, this was your father's lightsaber.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, thanks. And
he murdered a lot
oh,
of kids.
I got the blood off.
Yeah, he killed 30 kids with it. I maimed him before he got it. There was lava. He was screaming.
Oh,
I
yeah.
left him on the
Shit
planet.
Was double yeah. lightsaber just looking tough on the shore there.
Okay, Genre 5, heist movies.
Move on.
Hell
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's dive into it. Tony, hit me with yours first.
My first one.
Give me one.
Reservoir Dogs.
Nice.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Because it's the post-heist.
Yes.
I get that.
It's,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the fucking, it's the climax and the aftermath of a heist and
yeah.
how, I love the reactions of
yeah.
the height of those guys'
Going
stress.
Wrong, yeah.
yeah. Like, it went wrong. It's the fucking... It's the what is that called? Like it's the reason that there is a story.
Yeah,
but it is a heist
the catalyst,
movie. It's
yeah.
about thieves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And them not trusting each other because of their thieving nature.
That's great.
But yeah, that's my first one.
Nice. Mine's Inception.
Okay,
yeah, that's
yeah.
all about heists.
Yeah,
heist in the brain,
brain
motherfucker.
Heist.
Yeah, yeah.
Brain heist. That's good.
What do you got, Wills?
My number five is The Score.
The Score
with De Niro and Brando and
Edward Norton. Yeah,
is so good because Edward Norton was at the height of his powers in like the late 90s, 2000s. Because like from Primal Fear in 96 through Fight Club and The Score, it was
yeah.
just like, oh, let's let Edward Norton play two people, but we're not gonna tell you he's two people.
Dude, I thought that De Niro had the coolest fucking club
oh, yeah.
in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about De Niro in that movie, I was like, he's so cool. His style's awesome. He's rich mahogany.
Yes.
He's leather books.
Yes.
He's everything beautiful.
He's Angela Bassett is his fucking
Oh, yeah.
girlfriend.
He's jazz.
Like, oh.
He's fucking lady. Dude, it's
Jesus.
Awesome.
Yeah,
he he's great. A badass in that movie.
And then Brando, being all fat and pathetic.
Literally yeah. sitting in a like a hot tub.
Sitting in the sun. Yes. And I tried.
I'm trying to act.
It's like two regenerations of Vito Corleone just sweating
you know,
in this
you know
fucking.
How,
Tony shots fired over here.
What?
Trying to act. Kicking his dick in the dirt.
Yeah.
What?
You just said that.
Brando and that?
Yeah.
yeah.
Dude, I don't really know about that.
Yeah.
In terms of his performance.
Why is that?
I don't know. I felt like it was just. I know. I really did just feel like it was like.
Phoned in?
No. Like he literally was like, I'll come over.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, what do you want to do? And he's like, just get the fucking camera.
Yeah. I'm Marlon Brando.
Because it's nothing special. Because I'm like, oh, I've seen him do this shit. It's
yeah.
so cold. It's so badass. Yeah. It's so, like, calculated. But I wasn't like, whoa, Edward Norton is doing
yeah.
this and this. De Niro's got this plan. Like,
yeah.
it was very, like,
Brando was just
I was like,
there.
There's Brando. Cool.
Okay.
Not like, fuck Brando.
Yeah, but I get it because it's a problem when... unbelievably talented actors live too long and keep working.
Oh, they become their own shadow and
well,
stuff.
It, like, not only that, but because there's not a lot of room for lead roles or really captivating
oh, yeah.
roles once you get over 65.
Well, yeah, you just like, become the butler.
Right, you kind of have that stuff going on. Because, I mean, how many times, really, what's Nicholson done post-Departed? that has been significant.
I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I can't think of a single movie.
Because
I haven't even seen him in anything of where, like, whoa, it's Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
You know?
So, like, yeah. And he's in semi-retirement now. So, I mean, he got, like, the bucket list.
Semi-retirement?
And, like, yeah.
I heard that he fucking, that he can't remember lines anymore. So that's why he's just like, I'm just not going to do it anymore.
I don't know about that. I mean, when guys.
Dude, Al Pacino put 72 fucking TVs on the. Wait. It was either Al Pacino or Willis, one of the two. I can't remember. I heard about it. They're on Broadway. They put 72 prompters hidden amongst the set because they couldn't remember the fucking lines.
The
person just blankly staring at fucking furniture. Like,
but
the
once
side
they get
it,
that line, they're good.
Yeah. No, the whole time they're reading, like, the script. It's all there for
dude,
him.
Dude, Brando couldn't remember lines when he was 25. I mean, like, because part of it was his method.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of bullshit because he was also lazy. Shatner couldn't remember lines for real. Which is why that
stutter
delivery
kind of thing
came out, like, because he's trying
to
remember the next word. That's what he's trying to do. But
that's awesome.
But Richard Harris, who was in Mutiny on the Bounty with Brando, tells this great story in a British interview about how they said, you know, Brando uses cue cards. I said, what? So he uses cue cards in all those great performances. He's a great actor, doesn't know his lines, and he comes from British theater, which is, you know, you word perfect on day one.
Yeah.
And in Superman, he's reading his whole monologue on the baby's diaper. It's on a index card on the baby's diaper, and he's reading it.
That's
and so
amazing.
He says, in Julius Caesar, you know, you have this great moment where he's talking and he's saying something to Brutus and he's coming here and then he lists over. And then he keeps talking because he was reading. He said that amazing Brando look where he just kind of lists off to the left or the right and he kind of looks away with longing and all this stuff and then comes back in the middle. He's reading.
That's
and
amazing.
I was like, that's fucking crazy.
So his reading look is just a great thing for film.
Yeah, apparently.
Or you know what?
When I look like I'm reading, it's very squinty and like, huh, the what?
Oh, he's trying to figure out words again.
Look at him reading with his mouth. Look at him following it.
I do that sometimes. I'm like, oh, I look like such an asshole. I was at the airport, and I'm like, they must think I'm so fucking dumb. Do you remember in Dark Knight Rises where Bane's literally reading that fucking speech, and you can't see the motherfucker's mouth, and he's reading the dialogue? I thought that was such an odd fucking choice.
Oh, because he had written the speech to
No, he's reading Gordon's speech, remember?
About yeah, he fucking didn't memorize it. So,
oh,
I mean,
so it was
yeah,
like
no, but
a,
it's just
yeah.
it's just
speech
funny to see
stole.
In a movie. He's reading the speech. You can't see his mouth move. It's like an action figure walking around with a script.
It was probably great on set because he could just have the speech that he needs to say.
Oh, for sure.
Right,
I just thought I was like, oh, that's kind
of
weird. All right, that's what's your second movie?
My second movie is Bottle Rocket.
Oh, right on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Shit.
Does anybody have Raising Arizona on their list?
No.
Okay.
No,
do you? I just wanted to get... No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Bottle Rocket from the beginning. Everyone... I mean, the two main characters, mainly Owen Wilson, is just out to get the next job.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The jobs are idiotic, and he's a moron. But they try nonetheless. It's funny as shit. Like, if you really go back and, like... It was probably the least Wes Anderson-y Wes Anderson film.
I always forget that's him.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's Luke and Owen at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like
and that's
first
what
movies,
it is. It's
right?
more a Luke and Owen film.
Yeah.
With a little subcast that never got really reused by Wes Anderson. And it's about 8 indie music tracks. Not like. That's about it.
Yeah.
It's a great minimalist film.
Yeah. Very cheap to make.
Yeah.
You guys are going to hate me for this one.
What?
The remake of The Italian Job.
Oh, the Mark Wahlberg one.
That's not bad. That's
hey, Charlie Theron's those Mini Coopers and that, shit. Like that fucking car chase where they're like going through with the Mini Coopers throughout
Edward
the entire
Norton
house.
Edward Norton again is
he's
a shitty bad guy.
There's
yeah.
a dick in that. Yeah.
There's a dick in that.
With his, no, he's a dick in that
oh,
movie.
I thought you meant there was, I was like, I don't remember dick.
There's
shows.
A dick
PG
in that.
13.
No, when I talk about Edward Norton. No. I mean, he was like whining about his cable tour in the house.
That little shitty mustache.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know what's wrong with that.
Yeah.
And you're like, I just want him to lose.
Yeah, Italian Job I saw when I was really young, so it's kind of like a nostalgia movie, but I fucking loved it. Yeah.
The original Italian Job is on my honorable mentions
because
that's
shit.
Fucking beautiful. I mean, Michael Caine. Oh, yeah. Michael Caine in the 60s, it doesn't get cooler than that. I mean, it really doesn't.
Michael Caine in Children of Men doesn't get any cooler than that.
It tastes like strawberries, mate.
Love that. Pull my finger.
Yeah.
That was awesome. What's your second movie, Will?
Oh, well, it goes to all three of the new Oceans 11.
He puts three in a row. You're not going to get on his ass.
No,
huh?
I'm not. He's okay. An honored guest.
We were talking about movies that we take to Desert Island. I'm like, all the Star Wars.
He's yeah, like, you all know, the like, Harry one. Potters. Yeah.
He's like, what, eight movies?
Well, if a series of movies tells one continuous story, I feel like it should count.
Oh, shit. So it's like the one. Yeah. It's like the nacho that sticks to all the nachos.
Now,
but
the,
it's like one
nacho. 11 does.
Yeah, Ocean's 11 is this.
Star Wars doesn't, fucko. Fuck you.
No, Matrix doesn't count, okay? Oh,
Jesus. Well, the Ocean series,
all
I can see.
All of them
see.
Do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, my God.
I just Star Wars like
literally.
You.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the new Oceans were really good because I was very pleasantly surprised when I saw Ocean's 11 because, you know, growing up as a kid, I saw all the classic movies. I've been into all that since I was a kid.
No, this is like a super nod to that.
And so they come back and they remake the movie and I said, oh, God. I said, here comes the whitest cast of all time to do this fucking movie. And,
true.
All right. I said, let me guess, Bernie Mac's in it for 5 minutes.
Bingo.
And Don Cheadle's not going to be used to his potential. And then I saw it.
Don Cheadle's one of my favorite characters. In
oh
that.
My God.
Him and Casey
so
Affleck are two of my favorites.
Casey cool. Affleck's the bomb.
So cool.
Just not in Phantoms.
Casey Affleck and Scott Conn in that Conn, are yeah. so fucking fun. And then, I mean, all these great guys. The dude who was Carl Reiner.
Yeah.
Amazing. Carl. He's great. I mean, Brad Pitt and George Clooney, like, they became friends because of this movie.
That's
like,
cool.
That was, like, that's their big friendship came. And then, like, Don Cheadle became even more famous than he
yeah.
was.
Do you know
because
Brad Pitt has face blindness?
I didn't. I
you know what face blindness is?
No. Is that you can't recognize people's faces?
Yeah.
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 I didn't know that was true.
So, like, he's sitting next to George Clooney, who has, like, all the money
I
in the world.
I don't think that's how that is.
And yeah, and he has
he's
to listen
literally
to his
like,
voice. He's
who
like,
am
oh,
I next
George,
to?
I didn't know.
Oh, I'm on set. Who the fuck are you?
He's constantly terrified.
Am I not the only star here? I hate you so much. You're so wrong. To where he's sitting next to him, and he goes, how'd you get there, you fuck?
I feel like if you just
start talking, he's like, oh, fuck, Clooney, I'm sorry.
You don't recognize the voice, but you just see, like, oh, he's got a gray suit and both two buttons at the top are undone. That's George. Like,
it's cold
yeah,
as ice.
Honestly,
yeah.
they did, like, an experiment with somebody where they showed them a picture of Marilyn Monroe. They're like, all right, well, by the time period, it's this and this. And
yeah.
She's obviously very pretty and I'm assuming and looks, like, sexual, and the sex symbol from that era is Marilyn Monroe. That's how they got through the name. It was wild.
That's crazy.
Sorry to interrupt her face blindness, but it's all right. A little fact.
But like all those movies, and then they kept bringing in stars. Like,
oh,
so
yeah.
Andy Garcia's the bad guy, and all. I mean, that movie, Ocean's 11, like the new one, is almost perfect. It's like, don't go in expecting a cinematic masterpiece. Just come in and watch a cool, slick heist
oh, it's
movie.
Fun. Dude, that's
a
fun.
Yeah,
it
that's a popcorn movie. Yeah. Like, that's a fun fucking
and
movie.
And it is like the best popcorn
that's
movie
on
of
too.
The aughts. Like, it's one of the best popcorn movies of the aughts. Point blank. That's mm-hmm. not superhero.
Yeah.
That's not like genre specific to like anything like that. It's just like, boom, here you go. Here's Hollywood stars making a really fun movie.
Yeah.
And it's don't take it too seriously.
It's
just
like
watch
if
this.
The Expendables didn't like, wasn't like self aware and knew that everyone was washed up.
Right.
Like,
right
they took
right,
everyone
right.
like the height of their career.
Yeah,
they're like, no, all
yeah.
you all be in this fucking
I mean,
massive flick.
George
How much
Clooney,
did that cost? It had to have been
oh
so
God.
Much money.
George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, but it was Matt Damon. Well, I won't say pre born because it was post Goodwill Hunting. I mean, it's
yeah,
not like.
Yeah, so he was still Matt Damon
yeah.
in there.
So, like, Bernie Mac coming through there, because Bernie Mac got big from that movie and his show and the King's Comedy.
Yeah.
And, like, he came through that. And then, like, Don Cheadle did Hotel Rwanda after that and did all
yeah.
the other. I mean, like, all those guys, Andy Garcia, I mean, that whole cast was just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's not a cast of like a where are they now at all in any way,
no.
shape, or form.
On a couch with a needle. The production budget
no,
was 85,
they're all good.
85 million.
That's
which
crazy.
I can't believe.
That's
crazy that sounds
cheap.
Yeah, that sounds
they
really
probably,
cheap.
They probably all said we'll do this for.
Yeah,
super
well, we're
cheap.
All buddies. We hang out and fucking
I wonder
shoot
if that
people
was filmed in Vegas.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
that
got to be a lot of the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, for sure. God. Well, that's what I'm saying. But their salaries had to have been so much at that time. But
I bet they probably.
They probably took such
took a,
cheap
took
salaries.
A bit,
yeah, that's cool of them.
Keanu
right.
gave back like 80% of his Matrix earnings.
We're sorry about the second and third,
dude. Yeah. He was like, pay the crew better.
Oh yeah, no, that to make the second and
yeah.
third, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
He was like, dude, this is just graphics. Like,
yeah. I'm barely
pay
in
the animating
flip.
And graphic teams better.
Yeah. It's kind of like making a video game.
Yeah.
All right, Tony, third one, go.
Third one for me, Usual Suspects.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
So bad.
So
Kaiser Sose. So badass. Oh, God. Mm. Whole cast.
So
fucking Benicio del Toro, fantastic accent in that.
Yeah,
fucking
it's the dude
movie.
That's going to be the collector, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right on. He's
Kevin,
cool.
Can we just talk about Kevin Spacey for a minute,
dude?
Like, Kevin Spacey,
his
man,
talent is
great. K-Pax, best role
unstoppable.
Ever. No, I'm kidding.
K-Pax
did rock.
Takes it home for him. Not American K-Pax. Beauty.
No, just, American Beauty is I think my favorite with him.
God.
Seven, actually. He's so
seven
fucked
was,
in Seven
was really good. Dude, it's honestly House of Cards is fucking gold.
Ooh, yeah, holy
House
shit.
House of Cards is House
that
of Cards
opening scene where he breaks that fucking dog. Spoilers.
Yeah.
That dog's neck. Oh my God. Yeah, it's like the first 7 minutes of episode one. I'm not
and he's just looking
much.
At the guy like, what are you doing? Nobody
yeah.
cares to hear what you're talking
he's
about.
So weak.
No one can hear you. You're weak.
Oh,
you're
I almost want to rewatch that series. Netflix puts out some fucking awesome
Spacey's
shit.
Spacey's fantastic.
Really yeah.
He does. He is. And you know what's
Executive
crazy?
Executive produces that show too.
Mm-hmm. I was on a Jack Nicholson kick a few months ago when I came on this show.
Yeah.
And I was telling you guys about it. And I watched a very like little-known Mike Nichols film, Heartburn, with Nicholson and Meryl Streep.
Okay.
And
never
heard Meryl Streep's a writer, you know, and she's like writing columns, talking about food. And Nicholson is like a political shark of some kind. And maybe he's a writer too, or he does some like consulting or some shit like that in DC. And his infidelities, you know, kind of ruin their relationship. They get married, they have a kid, also this shit. While Meryl Streep is pregnant, she gets followed home off the subway, and her like little book club or whatever it is gets mugged. And the mugger is Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
And it's his very first film role.
No shit.
And it's like,
cool.
So he's like got this weird like faux hawk, and he's like, you know, got like this jean jacket. He looks like he should be in like Shredder's Street Gang.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
From one of the Ninja Turtle movies.
Oh, that's good.
And you're like, who the fuck is that? Oh my God, that's Kevin Spacey. So,
gotta
I mean,
start somewhere.
He, I mean,
yeah,
he's incredible.
Heartburn, Subway Thief.
Yeah.
That's his first fucking
Subway Thief. And he was probably pumped as
that
shit.
That got me a SAG card.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, he got to share the screen with Meryl Streep.
Oh, yep. Fuck yeah.
Got to hang out on set when Nicholson was there.
Yep.
Like, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, you're pretty happy.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Spacey's just fucking amazing. And that movie, I mean, just the ending alone is amazing. And
one of the biggest,
twist
greatest endings.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. And his whole, the whole body language and the whole thing. And also, the only movie that one of the Baldwin brothers can claim is better than Alex.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, what was it? Was it Billy Baldwin?
One
or
of
was
them.
It Stephen Baldwin? I can't remember which one.
I don't know.
Steve was in that Fire movie, right? Backdraft?
He was, yeah.
Yeah,
but, yeah he was in that. So and then Billy was fucking Biodome, right?
Yeah. So they must, at Thanksgiving, like, Alec Baldwin was probably, oh, yeah, I was in 30 Rock and Humphrey Rock. He was like, yeah, I was in The Usual Suspects. And he was like, shut the fuck up.
Shut up, damn it.
Dude, his role in 30 Rock rocks, though.
Yeah,
it does.
So, okay,
I mean,
so
that kills.
The Baldwins with Kevin Spacey in the 90s.
Yeah.
You've got Billy or whoever the fuck in The Usual
we're so
Suspects.
Articulate. Yeah.
In The Usual Suspects. And you've got Alec in Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah.
Which is fucking so good.
Oh, dude. I tell people about it, and they say, well,
it's all dialogue.
It sounds weird. Yeah, it sounds really weird. It's like almost takes place in one room.
Yeah. Jack Lemmon, Ed Harris, fucking Al Pacino, Kevin Spacey. Like,
and Kevin
Alec
Spacey
Baldwin.
Playing this like whiny
dork
boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And it was just so fucking good. And it's just, and it was all like men.
Yeah.
It was all men.
Oh,
and not,
smoking
and not,
upon smoking, just cussing.
Because it's like Ocean's 11 is like, oh, look at these like great Hollywood guy actors. It's like,
yeah.
No, these are men from like Albuquerque and Poughkeepsie. Like, these are dudes who like are pumping their own gas and like mowing the lawn and like going to PTA.
Oh no, they're really, they really are like, and they're pathetic in that way too.
Yeah.
Because you look at them and you
they're
go,
so mortal,
oh, it's everything they have is on the line, like with a sale or begging and pleading and scrounging for a dollar.
Right.
Like they'll suck you off to get a
oh,
sale.
Yeah. Lot lizard.
It's, dude, I mean, it's, oh, lot lizards.
All right.
I really came into
the
conversation.
In the trucking world, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big 10-4. All right, so my third one is...
Big 10-4.
That's what you say when they shot you right in the mouth, Tone. All right, The Town. That's my next one.
Okay.
Affleck. Really?
Yeah.
You like the town.
That would be rocked.
I didn't know you loved it.
Jeremy Renner, man.
Jeremy Renner and Ben are both killing it.
Yeah, no, it's just a cool
flick. And Ben directed, I think.
Yeah, that was, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I love the town.
Film.
It's so good. It's shot amazingly, too. The camera work, and that's great.
Ben Affleck is so much better suited behind the camera than in front.
Dude, I can't wait till he fucking directs a Batman film. He's like, action, time to kick ass. Like, I mean, he's
Batman,
too.
Hang on, boys, let me get out of my chair here.
I just don't. I still am very doubtful of him as Batman.
Fuck, for real?
I am.
Oh, and we're going to go for it.
No, it's cool.
No. I'm not going to make this a big thing. I'm just saying that it seems...
I was like, no.
I flipped the table.
It seems to me that seeing Affleck acting in the past 2 years has been very underwhelming to me. And seeing Gone Baby Gone...
That movie rocked.
Argo... The Town, like everything that he's directed has been fucking phenomenal.
Boy, did you not feel like he acted well in The Town or Argo?
I feel like
or Gone Baby Gone. Gone Baby Gone, it felt a little.
I don't think he
weird.
Was in that. He wasn't in that, was that?
No,
was
my
brother.
Bad.
No, that was Casey.
What am I thinking? Gone Girl.
Gone Girl.
Gone Girl. It was good. I mean, like
that's David Fincher.
Yeah. But I just none of those films smacked me in the head. None of those films I saw Ben Affleck in and went, "Damn, dude."
Yeah, like, but I don't. What. Other than like Good Will Hunting, what's a Ben Affleck film that really fucking like jumps out like, wow, now that's acting? He kind of plays like the every kind of role, dude.
No.
Which is weird that he's going to be Bruce. He's going to be a great Bruce Wayne because I feel like he can play that role really well. Batman's the hard part. But if they just change his voice with a modulator, we're good. Doesn't even have to be fucking him talking.
I don't know. I'll have to think about that and I'll come back to to you about Affleck roles that I really enjoy.
Hit me with your fucking third movie, Willis.
The original Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Oh,
the original
shit.
Ocean's 11 was with the Rat Pack, Sinatra and Dean and Sammy. And oh my God, it's such a fucking good movie. And the little nods to show business that go on in that, like when the clock strikes midnight and the lights go out, Dean Martin's like in a parking lot of a hotel. And this drunk girl comes to like get a kiss at midnight, and you like are looking for a second, you can't quite make her out and who she is, and then you realize that it's Angie Dickinson's the girl in the movie, but it's Warren Beatty's little sister. Fucking oh my God, I just lost her name.
Warren Beatty's little sister. I have no idea.
It's
what'd you say?
What's
it?
The name? Yeah. What's the name of the movie?
Ocean's 11.
The original.
Yeah, and she's in
let's see here.
And this is so stupid that I forgot her name. But she's an artist and models with Jerry Lewis and
wait. What? I'm not seeing her.
Ocean's 11.
Yeah, no, I'm an asshole. I'm there.
I'm just saying because you're so stupid.
Shirley MacLaine.
Oh, well, she McClain. Wouldn't have had the last
see,
name, so I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, you're looking for
Betty.
Scan.
Yeah. Pretty sure she wasn't in this flick, asshole. No.
No, but like. And Shirley MacLaine shows up.
Yeah.
And she just is in the movie for a total of like maybe a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And she's just like this drunk girl trying to get a kiss at midnight. And Shirley MacLaine has been famous. She was in Some Came Running. She's been in, you know, she's been in Artist and Model. She's done big movies before. And so you're like, oh, she's been in movies with Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra before.
But she just came on to do that bit.
To do
them.
That bit and just leave.
I like that stuff.
And you're like, what the fuck? Oh, shit. They're
wait,
like,
she's a millionaire.
Yeah. And then she just kind of left. And so, the you know, tying in the music parts and the ending of the original Ocean's 11 is so great because you can just tell the times were different.
What
because
year?
In the new 1960.
They don't stand by a fountain.
No, they don't. They don't stand by the fountain. Actually, they don't even get the money.
Oh shit!
Like they
spoilers.
Yeah, but it's a 55 year old movie. I think if you didn't get it by now, you know, sorry, but you're a little late. But the original or the new one rather, they get the money. They get away. They kind of scorn the bad
for
guy.
Them, yeah,
like, we rock. Let's ride up in the sunset.
High fives,
Bon Jovi.
Exactly.
Steal a horse, I ride.
Right. So it's like, okay, that was cool. But at the end of that movie, it was more ironic and self-deprecating, and not in a dorky way.
Yeah.
You know, not in like
we're failures.
Like, oh, we suck. But it's just like there's these great guys, these brilliant dudes who said, all right, well, you know. Shit, something went wrong, so what do we got to do? So they stuff all the money in this casket for their buddy. Like, their buddy had a heart attack in the street and fell.
Yeah.
Because they were, in the original movie, all of them are war friends, or war buddies from World War II. So they were all in World War II together as very young men. And they, when they've all gotten out, they all have their different gigs, but none of them are as well off as they want to be. So Sinatra comes up with the idea. He's like, hey,
they want a cushion.
Yeah, we should rob three Vegas casinos on New Year's Eve.
Well, duh.
Cool.
And but because they're commandos,
yeah,
they're going to go at this like commandos.
Right. Professional.
Right. One guy has a heart attack, falls in the street, dies.
Not part of the plan?
No.
Okay.
He's in the morgue, and they don't know where to stash the money, so they stash all the cash in his casket.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, they're all sitting in the church, and like one of the detectives is there trying to find him.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, he's looking at them, and you know, they're just kind of sitting there, and all of a sudden, there's like, "Where's the casket?" And it gets up and it starts going on the little rollers. Towards the incinerator. He's getting cremated and they didn't realize
the money.
So all the money gets burned.
That's actually a fucking sick ending.
Yeah, and so like,
and that's why I had to come back for Ocean's 12.
Right. And so like, as it happens, they're like, and they say he's gonna get cremated, and then Frank looks at Dean, then Dean looks at Sammy, then Sammy looks at Peter Lawford, then Peter Lawford looks at Joey Bishop. They go down the line, their heads just keep turning, and they go, "Oh shit." And you see their hearts just sink. And then when it's over, they didn't commit a crime. You can't prove they committed the crime.
Yeah, all the evidence is gone.
So
that sucks.
Everybody's at zero sum. The cops didn't get their guy. They didn't get their money, but they don't go to jail.
That's sweet.
So at the end of the movie, the music comes up, and they're just walking through Vegas at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And they're in the clothes from the night before. They're all in their really nice suits. Their ties are all undone. They're all fucked up. And they're just kind of walking through like, we did all of that, and the money just burned.
Yeah, we literally just burnt the money.
That's cool.
And so it was,
that's a stronger ending than the fucking remake for sure. Them just kind of standing next to the fountain and be like, all right, well, fuck off.
Yeah.
Or millionaire, see ya.
And I mean, it was cool because the new one was, you know, oh, here's Matt Damon who just started, and then here's Carl Reiner who's, this is, might be his last job. And so it's like there's generations of thieves kind of coming back and forth, and that was nice.
And generations of stars, you're seeing them all in the same fucking movie. That's insane. Cause
Carl Reiner wrote for the Dick Van Dyke Show. I mean, like, Jesus. He was Alan Brady on that show. So you'll see, you know, things like that. But that movie was great. Cause then, I mean, it's the strongest of Sergeant's Three, Four for Texas, Never So Few, which
I thought you were just naming number movies.
No, like those are all the movies, Robin and the Seven Hoods, like they're all the Rat Pack movies that they did.
I got you.
Yeah, and then like they were in Vegas at the Sands doing shows by night when they were shooting in the day.
That's cool.
So like it's the ultimate, like it's the apex of the Rat Pack style.
That would be badass.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, that's a dream life.
Hippie Town. Yeah.
Being in the fucking Rat Pack.
Right. Number two.
My next one is Dog Day Afternoon.
Ooh. Dog Day Afternoon? I haven't seen that.
Fuck it.
Attica!
Attica! Referring to the riot in Attica Prison.
Yes.
And I was when I saw it, I didn't catch that at first. Now I researched it a bit.
Did you notice that they were gay at first?
Yes. Not at first. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, I did.
It was just a bro.
First glance, that's what I thought, because you see it when you're like a freshman in high school or in middle school, and you're like, oh, this is cool. Like,
so
good
bro.
Because for me, I'm like, oh, there's Fredo and,
Fredo and
Michael Corleone, you know. Fredo and Michael Corleone, they're just robbing a bank.
It's fine.
And then, like, I watched it again.
I thought you were saying
Frodo
weird. No. I'm like, it's not Fredo.
And then I was like, wait, this... And I saw this in like my senior year of high school. And I was like, they're gay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he wants to be. He wants his. He needs a post. He wants to transition.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. Is him wanting to get money for his boyfriend's transition.
Yeah.
Right.
And they wanted to move to like Montana or some shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was what he wanted to do. But oh man, go talk about it.
Oh no, I'm just saying.
Great movie.
It's not an understated movie in any way, because it was such a breakthrough performance.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, it was just revolutionary in its context, too, like the kind of themes they were pushing.
That was, what, 79?
Yes.
Post Godfather?
1975, I think.
They're pushing a lot of, like, themes that today you have to push for to get in films.
Yeah. It's 75?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and Justice for All must be 79, I'm thinking of. That's the other
thing. Yeah, nuts. Metallica record? No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I mean, it's I highly recommend seeing Dog Day Afternoon. It's
right on.
Badass.
We'll check that out for a fucking in depth or some shit.
Because Dog Day Afternoon, tight. The only reason why Pacino didn't get Best Actor for Dog Day Afternoon is because that movie came out the same year as One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I knew you were going to say that.
Which, you know, it's really weird. Yeah. The artwork for both look very similar as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a style for that, like, artistically that year. But, man, that's...
That's just weird, though.
Those are two gorgeous movies.
Like Volcano and Dante's Peak,
Jaws,
you know?
Jaws came out that year.
Jaws, Jesus Christ.
Jaws!
It was a huge year. Spielberg!
But you got to think, like, that's why Star Wars did so well, is because movies like Dog Day Afternoon, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Godfather, you know, all these other movies are so dark, Apocalypse right. Now, and they're like dark, really gritty, realistic, and then like Star Wars comes out of nowhere and it's like, hey, like,
let's have fun.
Yeah, let's have fun again.
It's a new journey.
Yeah. A long time ago. Like, it starts off like a fucking fairy tale.
Yeah.
All right, my last one is E.T. They're hunting the alien. I'm just kidding. It's Heat. I just thought
I'd get it. Is it Heat, really?
Yeah, Heat. I fucking love Heat.
We're riding De Niro today, man.
Oh, dude.
He's in all the fucking heist movies. Yeah. Oh, fuck it. What's that one that we just watched? That bullshit one.
It's not bullshit, by the way.
That wasn't good.
Ronan. And it is good.
Oh, fuck that movie. Fuck it. You're stupid ass.
I'm in the middle.
But you're leaning towards fuck it, right?
I'm over here. On a fucking island.
Yeah, your shitty Ronin island. I hope you fucking drift off. Commit the seppuku or whatever the fuck on it.
Oh, I had to teach you that word, you moron.
I said it right.
I know it.
Yeah, no, I thought Ronin was a pile of shit.
I'm going to commit harakiri.
Heat, though, yeah, that was a fucking rad flick. Yeah, I think that might have been my problem. He watched, like, a lot of awesome movies, and he's like, oh, well, I saw this way before all of these, and then he saw, and then I, like, you know.
Yeah. Did I say Heat yet?
No.
I saw Ronan in a barber shop when I was
somewhere?
Like 10. And so, yeah.
Oh, you maybe give it another shot. Or if, like Paul says, don't give it a shot.
And then I saw I saw it in the barber shop. I was like, okay, that's fine. I didn't really take notice of it. But then I watched it again as like a 17-year-old. And I was like, And I think it was right after I saw Goodfellas or something. And
that's what I'm
like,
saying.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think there's like
Die
too
Hard.
Much.
I tried watching it and I was bored.
Yeah. I think there's just too much like.
Why was it Christmas?
watching Die Hard at Christmas.
I think that there's just so many more awesome heist movies and movies like that already.
Including Heist with Pierce Brosnan.
It's a cool fucking flick, don't get me wrong. Like, it's all right. But like in that vein, I'm like, well, this is just boring. Because the whole premise is like, it's all about the job. Who
Trust
cares what
me,
it is?
I get it. You don't have to beat it to a pulp.
I will. All right. Will, hit me with your... Wait, are you guys on 4?
No, we're on number 2.
What?
Like,
oh, are you going
5, 4, 3, 2?
Yeah. Okay, right on. That's all of mine because I had Ocean's 11 and you already talked about that.
My number 2 is the original Thomas Crown Affair with Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway.
Oh, okay, cool.
Never
seen that. I have seen that, I think, with my dad. Yeah.
It is a... Stylistically, it is very much dated. Like, if you go back and look at, like, the cuts and the music, it's like, oh, this is late 60s, like, for sure.
Yeah.
But... One thing that endures is Steve McQueen's style and the actual heist itself. Like, it's Thomas Crown, who is this venture capitalist businessman. Yeah. And he is so, like, if you made this movie today, he'd be a strict villain. Like, he's just an asshole. Because here's this billionaire by today's standards who's just so bored with his own riches that he just starts stealing priceless art. Like, oh my God, this guy's horrible.
He's just a horrible rich asshole.
Crazy. In the 60s, it represents, you know, counterculturalism, being bored with the situation that you're in,
right,
and kind of rebelling against the system. Oh, I'm supposed to be rich and just play polo and just stay in my lane. Like, nah, I'm going to be a fucking
thief. I'm John DuPont. I'll kill who I want.
Yeah, so, like, that's exactly... I mean, it's McQueen... And McQueen can carry
fucking
a film
John
because
DuPont.
Pulse
flash.
Sorry.
Every time you say John DuPont, though, I just think of fucking Steve Carell with his fake nose. Pulse flash. Mother didn't care for horse flash.
Oh, God.
It's too easy to derail this train.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one thing that's great is that originally, I think Norman Jewison directed this, who directed The Cincinnati Kid in 65, and was really, really great. And... all of a sudden, you know, the script comes out, you know, The Crown Caper, based off a book. And McQueen did not want to do it. Because if you think about Steve McQueen in the 60s at the time, you think, okay, I've got the guy on the motorcycle in The Great Escape. I've got the guy on the horse with the cowboy hat in The Magnificent Seven. He was in The Blob. You know, what's he doing? You know, Cincinnati Kid, he's a tough guy, he's a cool, you know, he's kind of like this son of Brando and James Dean. I don't really know where he fits, you know, if he's a movie star. And to show his range,
he picks this.
He didn't pick it. His wife picked it.
Really? Oh, shit.
And
curveball tone.
And here's why. But here's the thing. This is, I mean, any man who's in a relationship with a really good woman knows that women have the ability to make you do shit and think it's your idea.
Oh, like Inception.
It's
my third movie.
Yeah.
No.
it's like playing your ego to walk into the trap.
She's bringing
him French toast in the morning. It's like, oh, hey, you know, Norman Jewison's doing that Crown Caper thing. And yeah, I don't think he wants you for it. Like, he's looking at like Sean Connery or Rock Hudson.
Let me stop working looking on
for
the
somebody.
Bike.
Yeah, they're looking for somebody, you know, refined, not you.
You're a little too rugged.
You can't wear a suit. You just can't. And he's like, what the yes, I can. And so he like goes.
Get out of the way.
He goes after this role.
Nice.
And gets it. And actually does a really awesome job. And a lot of people people will fight you on this by saying, you know, it's a beautiful miscasting or this and the other, but McQueen is actually excellent in this. And the tension between him and Faye Dunaway is great because Faye Dunaway is playing up to Steve McQueen the whole movie.
Yeah.
Because he was calling her Dun Fadeaway the entire movie because nobody knew who she was and he thought she was going to be a flash in the pan, so he kept calling her Dun Fadeaway.
Yeah.
And so she's like really trying to match him, and this is pre-Chinatown. This is pre Bonnie and Clyde. So like, who the fuck is Faye Dunaway?
Yeah, she's just doing what she has to.
And so she comes up to him, and then he's trying to come up to the script, and everybody is reaching, and everybody makes it. And also, every suit he wears in that movie is fucking gorgeous.
You like those suits?
Every single one.
Cold. Each suit, so cold.
That's funny. Movies, like I see staircases, I'm like, oh, that's a sick skate spot. And you see suits, and you're like, oh, that's a good looking suit.
That's a good looking suit.
You're not like a car guy, you're a suit guy.
No, I'm a car guy because I can talk to you about Bullet all fucking day long. Like, I can talk to you about that movie all day long. But like, he was just, I mean, there's a, like, I talk about the suit that Sean Connery wears in Goldfinger.
Yeah.
There's the suit that McQueen wears in Thomas Crown Affair when he's dumping the money in the graveyard. He's got a gray suit on. It's a gray vest that's like, that cuts up like right in the middle of the chest.
Yeah.
And he's got like a baby blue tie. And it's like this, and these badass sunglasses that are like tinted blue, and he's got the cufflinks and the fucking driving gloves on. And I'm like, God damn, this man is cool. How do you just look that cool?
Cool for doing what he was doing too.
Yeah, because he was just dumping this big ass bag of money, and like the cops are closing in on him, but he's gone. And the next thing you know, he's in this fucking plane, just riding around up in the sky. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
That's awesome,
Tony. Go.
All right. Oh,
last one, right? Or did you, or
Snatch?
Snatch, right on.
Snatch is good. Snatch is really.
It was kind of a toss between Lock, Stock, and Snatch. But in my head, I was like, I laugh so much at Snatch. It's so fun.
It's so fun. Brad Pitt, excellent in that.
Yeah,
oh, dude.
Brad Pitt's awesome in a lot of shit. What's that movie where he plays the fucking bum on the couch?
Quite, no one can understand
it. Oh, True Romance.
True Romance. Fuck, so that good. Rocks. Yeah, and he's like, hey, James guys, just like, come in, man. Like, yeah. What are you doing? Do you want to stay? Like, he just fucking rocks so hard in that shit.
Because, I mean, barely anybody knew who he was.
Yeah.
I think the only other big movie he had done at that point was what? Like
California?
No, I think California was after that.
Really?
California was like 94, and that was 93.
Yeah, because it was Duchovny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duchovny and Juliette Lewis.
Yeah.
But we have, I think he did, what the fuck was it? Thelma and Louise. I think that was the only big movie before that.
Wow. Yeah, it was early as fuck.
Yeah,
they didn't care.
It was like, I think True Romance is 93 because,
he's in Cool World.
Oh, that's right. He was in Cool World, the cartoon movie.
Yeah.
But
Cool World's fucking sick.
It is. Because True Romance
was a
Tarantino had to sell that movie to Tony Scott to finance Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah,
so he was like, "I'll sell you this script," and I was like, "Oh my god, that's such a good movie! It's
such a good movie."
True Romance rocks. Willis, what's your last one?
Well, number one heist movie.
Oh shit!
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh nice!
Oh,
that's
they
a
are
good
raiding.
One.
Yeah.
It's not because it's close to being
the face melting
a
right?
quest.
Yeah.
It's not a quest, but it's not.
They have a goal.
No.
They got a job and they're trying to steal some shit.
No, because The Last Crusade is a heist. It's not a heist. It's a quest. Because they're going to something that's in one spot.
Yeah.
And nobody's really guarding it, you think. And it's just like, I'm going to go find this thing.
Yeah.
But Raiders of the Lost Ark was, we need you to find this ark and steal it and bring it back to us before Hitler gets it.
Yeah.
So it is from jump, you have to steal this shit.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
see, and I didn't think of it. Like, yeah, you know what I mean. Like,
no, that's good. Exactly. That's a good one.
You
I
think
like
adventure
that.
When you say Indiana you're Jones. Like, oh, Indy.
And then I really sat and I was thinking about it and I went, that's a heist movie. It's a heist movie. If you really break it down, it's a heist movie. And because the Nazis have it, like it's like there, the camp is there. It's just they haven't got to it yet.
Yeah.
And so they have to break in past all these Nazis. Right before World War II breaks out, because they're not even distracted by fighting people yet.
Yeah.
They're just building their empires. This is the Nazis at their height. You've got to break into that, get the Ark that holds unfathomable power.
Yeah.
Face melting power.
Yeah. And get it out. They don't even know what it does yet.
Right.
Because you remember the, what's this light here? Lightning. Fire, power of God, or something. Like, you just like, it's like, oh God, it's so fucking cool.
That's
and
awesome.
So, like, that was just the ultimate.
That's
the ultimate
good. I really want to rewatch the Indiana Jones. I'm sure I will soon. I've been meaning to. It's been a while since I've seen them.
Me and my boys have been watching them because they'd never seen them before. So now I'm introducing them.
Oh, that fucking rocks.
To 11-year-olds, and they're like, oh,
you know, it's fucked up. I never saw the Indiana series until fucking 24.
Oh, man.
I just never got into them. Like, I love Star Wars and shit, and like they'd always be on at Thanksgiving downstairs, but they never like let me watch it because I was too young and shit. So I just always stayed away from the movies, which is dumb because that movie's made for a fucking little boy.
Yeah, it's different when you see certain things as an adult because like I want to let my kids see The Princess Bride while they're still young.
Yeah.
So they can watch it with some nostalgia when they're old.
And get a ton of the more jokes and shit. Yeah.
So they can see it. They can have it twice.
Yeah.
Because Raiders of the Lost Ark, I saw when I was their age. And Mr. Ramos' sixth grade world history class, and I'm pretty sure he was hungover.
Just popped it in.
That's a solid teacher. He's like, this is old.
But he goes, but he's sitting there and he goes, well, we're learning about Egyptology, so here you go.
Yep.
They're in Egypt.
There's an archaeologist.
And so I'm like, all right. And so I watched it and I fell in love. I was immediately, it's my favorite movie of all time, and it is the perfect heist movie. Now, honorable mention, the first 20 minutes of Return of the Jedi.
Oh yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
when they're trying to steal Han, I was like,
how are we gonna get him?
For
back?
Some reason, I thought Empire Strikes Back, and I was like,
yeah.
I was like, well, they cut open a tauntaun.
Yeah, you know, the first 20 minutes of Return of the Jedi.
Oh
is my
fuck! I just
mention.
Heard what her fucking bounty hunter name was. Leia's. It had a fucking name.
Leia's a bounty hunter.
Leia, she comes.
Oh, when she comes in. Okay,
when she comes to steal Han back. But it actually has a name. Yeah, like that thing. Like, it's fucking sick.
That was surprisingly good.
Thank you. I've watched a lot of Star Wars. I'm in the mirror just doing that every morning. All right. We're not going to do.
Through.
We're not doing weekly recommendations and rejections.
No.
We're just going to do. You wanted to talk
about. Watch Spectre, watch Jessica Jones.
Okay, right on. Well, there you go. I am going to see Spectre.
I agree
soon.
With one of those. I haven't seen Spectre, but
I'm sure it's
it.
Sick as fuck. Daniel Craig's
hell yeah.
My favorite Bond, and I've only had two, so there you go.
It is the first Bond film of Daniel Craig's run.
Really? Casino Royale was not a Bond film to me at all.
No, they were.
It was
a
murder time.
They were great. They were great movies with James Bond in them. There were great movies with James Bond in them. They're all, of course, they're Bond movies, but like in the classic sense of you've got a girl he hooks up with at the very beginning.
Yep.
Then he hooks up with one of the bad guy's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then he hooks up with the heroine.
Oh.
That's in there.
Wow.
You've got the cars.
You got the three pusses of Bond,
yes.
Right?
You got the cars. You got the gadgets. You have the unstoppable henchman played by Batista.
Hell yeah.
So your Jaws,
awesome.
Your
That's
Aja,
fucking rad.
All
yeah.
Those other guys. So you've got the dude who's completely unstoppable. They fight on a train.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now.
Just like in the other. Yeah.
That sounds sick. I really want to watch it. I need to watch Skyfall first.
Amazing, amazing action sequences.
Oh,
it's
I
just,
bet, dude.
It's fantastic. And
you think we'll do another
Waltz.
One? I know he signed off.
Christoph Waltz is fantastic.
Okay, just curious. Just
there are spoilers ahead if you get into that. And since either of you have seen it, but I will say this. The entire timeline is now very complicated because of this movie.
And you know, the timeline from Casino for a day in your
the
Daniel
timeline,
Craig run.
The timeline from Dr. No to Spectre is
holy
now all fucked up now.
Oh,
Dr. No to Spectre?
62.
One day we'll have you come on and we'll just do fucking James Bonding and like fucking you can go through the whole timeline and explain how they all fucking match up.
Because now
that's
it's
a fucking show in itself.
Yeah,
man.
Now it's a thing. Now like after that movie, if Sam Mendes doesn't direct the next one, which I don't think he will.
I don't think Daniel Craig's going to do another one.
I hope he does. I hope he does. I think he's contracted
for one. He's been talking some shit, though. Like, he's like, I fucking hate being Bond.
He's tired. And I said this downstairs with Tony. I said, Pierce Brosnan was better at being James Bond, like playing James Bond.
Okay, like the character himself.
And, well, no. All the, like, oh, Pierce Brosnan, like, if somebody walked up to you in Whole Foods.
Oh, James Bond. He's like, James Bond.
Hey, how's it going? Like, let me sign your shit and take a picture with you.
You choked at Mrs. Doubtfire. Right. I'm sure he doesn't get that much.
So, but Daniel Craig is an actor.
Yeah.
Whereas Pierce Brosnan is a movie star.
Yeah, he didn't mind. Like, he's like, yeah, sure, whatever you want to know me
I'm
for.
Fine, baby,
fuck.
I'm fine.
Hey, these checks cash, motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, not even that, but just the fact that, like, Pierce is, like, larger than life. He's big, he's gregarious, he's Irish. He's big, he's gregarious, he's a fucking 6'2" Irishman. He's just, you know, he's having a good time. And he's fucking just devilishly handsome.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan has aged so well. And I'm like, man.
Oh, salt and pepper Pierce?
Good for you, Pierce Brosnan.
Salt and pepper Pierce.
That sounds like an appetizer at Olive Garden, and I would have it.
Salt and pepper Pierce. One. Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow Never Dies edition.
Right. So like, because if you look at the other guys who played James Bond, they aged like fucking milk. And it's just, it's bad.
Connery
wasn't
bad.
Sean Connery, dude. Sean Connery, it took him a while to look cool because he had to embrace the fact that he was bald. Sean Connery was wearing a toupee since From Russia with Love.
Yeah.
Since the second Bond movie, he'd been wearing a hairpiece. And so he's like, okay, you can't really tell. And then by Never Say Never Again, you're like, look, Diamonds Are Forever. You're like, ooh.
That hair's not forever.
Yeah, like, he's got more hair on his chest than he does in his head, and you're like, this is not good. And then Roger Moore looks like the Crypt Keeper by the time A View to a Kill comes out, and you know, all the, oh God, just get out, just stop.
Well, Pierce doesn't change. He's very, very, like...
Yeah, he looks good. He looks good. He's wearing his age well. And then, like, Daniel Craig, you know, he's doing a good job, but I think as an actor, this is why...
He doesn't want to get pigeonholed. That's why Marvel characters are like, fuck this, I'm out after this one.
Not only that, but just completely uncomparable to any other Bond to the work he puts out while he's James Bond. Defiance, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
Like, all his, I mean, even if it was just those two movies, he was fucking excellent in both of those.
Oh, yeah, they were
great movies. And, like, Defiance is etching its way into my top 10. It's like definitely my top 12.
Oh, dude, him and Liev Schreiber both blow me away. And Liev blows me away all the time.
Oh,
so does
great.
Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking about two awesome actors in an awesome movie.
And so, but that's Spectre is fantastic. Anybody who's like, oh, it's bad, fuck off. It got some rough reviews, but it's because they were used to, oh, well, we're going to make this towards millennials and we're going to try and, you know, make sure that it's like, okay, it's actiony and it's just as gruesome as you want it, but he really respects these girls too. No, he doesn't. He's James Bond. He's a fucking sociopath.
Yeah.
He's a fucking sociopath. He has these character flaws for a reason because
they make him what he
is. Assassins are not good people by nature. Like, they're not good people.
He's the kind one. Right, comes home to his wife and kids.
Right. No.
He drinks by the fire and fucks.
Yeah. That's what happens. Okay. What
test of Tony, sir.
All right.
We're
going
to hop into The Mask. What year, Tony?
The Mask is The Mask. 95.
95.
20 years
ago.
That's fucked, right?
95. I watched The Mask, and honestly, every subtlety of Jim Carrey's lines, I still had. They resonated.
Yeah. Oh,
I mimicked. I could work with.
Aren't you
literally
back at the laboratory for your bolts tightening again?
Should have said that. Should have said
it. Yeah, dude, his character was fantastic.
No, it is fantastic. Like, Stanley Ipkiss is a great archetype for that fucking, like,
$23 million budget. Gross.
Blew up.
Yeah, gross $351 million.
Shit. It was
worldwide.
Huge. It was huge. And you know why? Can we just talk about this for
just
1 second?
It was a fucking superhero movie.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's a superhero movie, Willis.
That has nothing to do with why it did well. Nothing to do with it.
I think so.
Carrie?
No.
Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. You like her with those curves.
Oh, my God.
Dude, not only that, she walks in and she's like glistening from the rain. Yes. And her tits are just flopping out.
I'm saying in general, I've never been so attracted to Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Totally. She lost weight for Hollywood,
Bad
I
Teacher?
Guess, but
was it Bad Teacher? Yeah. That dude, yeah. She looked hit as fuck in that movie.
No, but, I'm just saying like her, dude, that weight she kept.
That and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas are the best she's ever looked. And she's in Fear and Loathing for like 2 seconds.
In the elevator, yeah. For sure, yeah. I remember, like, as a kid, I was like, oh God, she's so pretty.
And I just remember being like, because the first movie I ever saw Cameron Diaz in where I recognized it was Cameron Diaz was Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, she's cute, but Lucy Liu's the one that I really like in this one.
Yeah.
And then I went back and I watched The Mask again.
You
and
go
I was like,
bonkers. It's almost not the same girl.
It's really not.
From that to, There's Something About Mary, it doesn't look like the same girl.
I said, oh my God. God,
yeah.
What
something
is
about Mary?
On?
She's like super thin.
Yep,
yeah.
She's
super
ridiculously,
thin, and she's a tall girl. So it's like
it
I
just
feel
doesn't
like,
wear it well. You have to have something on there, you know. You don't want a fucking skeleton.
I love her with curves. That, yeah, she looks bomb.
She looks great in that. Yeah, for sure.
And the whole scene where he's in the dance hall and he's like rolling the gong like in Temple of Doom and like with the machine guns. And Jim Carrey's just a fucking force of nature in
Fuck
the 90s.
Yes.
Too. I mean, he's just. He was, and the trouble with Jim Carrey, because Jim Carrey didn't last as long as he should have, because I'll put it to you this way. Jim Carrey is like the Hakeem Olajuwon of comedy. And here's why. I know you're both dorks and you're not going to understand this reference yet, but Hakeem Olajuwon was an amazing basketball player in the 1990s. He played for the Houston Rockets. He was great. He was a center. He could score. He was maneuverable for being 7 foot tall. He was incredible.
Yeah.
However, he happened to occupy the same time with Michael Jordan.
Oh.
Who do you think offset?
Yeah, his shadow.
Robin Williams. Okay. Robin Williams and Eddie Murphy transitioning into family movies.
Ooh, good call.
So like if you look
fucking
Eddie Murphy just does all of the
Nutty
shit.
Professor.
Like both these guys who are kings of stand-up in the 80s start transitioning. Oh, let me start doing my family movies. Yeah. So you get Flubber, Jumanji.
Flubber like, holds up, man.
I mean, it does.
Yeah.
But Flubber, Jumanji, Mrs. Doubtfire, like those movies. And then you get Eddie Murphy doing
Jack.
You know, and then you start doing like Boomerang, and he starts coming in with like The Nutty Professor, Dr. Doolittle,
Meteor Man.
He's not in that. That is a completely different black actor.
What are you saying?
Meteor Man.
Meteor Man is what's the dude's name from Robert Townsend? Yeah,
really?
Robert Townsend.
You're way off.
Holy shit, you just blew my mind.
We do not all look that much
alike. Oh, don't make it about race.
Paul, you piece
he's
of
fucking
shit.
Throwing
the
card.
Black people.
Yes. Know your black people. Thank you, Chuck.
Robert Townsend, yeah, you're totally right.
The dad from Sister Sister. Parenthood. That's
know your black people.
Yeah, know your black people, Willis.
No, know my shows, not Parenthood. Yeah, because all those shows, all the shows that got rerun on UPN are the same show.
UPN.
So let's just
pretty
get
much
that straight right
smart
now.
Smart guy. Yeah. All right. Anyways, go ahead.
No, but I feel like Jim Carrey had such because I mean, like, I don't think Jim Carrey gets better. I mean, yeah, Dumb and Dumber was great, but Jim Carrey does not get better than like The Mask into like Liar Liar.
Liar Liar is fucking good.
I feel like that's his best performance.
Because
he was like a mix between like Jerry Lewis and Robin Williams and Charlie Chaplin.
And he hit you with a fucking pretty decent like portrayal of emotion in the movie as well. Because it wasn't just dumb like I'm clapping
actor,
my ass and like, you know, making talk.
I mean, look at The Truman Show. He's fucking incredible.
He's got an acting
talent. He was just
Eternal Sunshine.
He was just squeezed between two giants who had a decade of experience
for sure.
And so it's like, what are you going to do? I mean, you got Eddie Murphy and Robin Williams squeezing you out. Are you going to last into the new millennium? What happened? Bruce Almighty, then what?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Robin Almighty.
I mean, sure he's taking his residuals.
Well, number
walking.
23, like, he started to veer off into shit. More, yeah, it's, oh, he started man. To veer off into, like, more of, like, trying to be,
what
like,
was that,
serious.
Yes, Man?
Yeah,
yeah, so there's that. Dick and Jane, or Fun with Dick and Jane.
Dick and Jane was bad. Oh, that was a rough one. Me, Myself, and Irene was all right.
That was
though.
Funny. I feel like that was like the last.
But
gasp.
Yeah, you're saying like, yeah,
I agree.
You're still getting just hiccups of what it was,
right?
Because
right.
I feel like left untampered with, if he was the only guy in town, he would have gotten all those other scripts, and Jim Carrey would be the comedy star of the 1990s instead of Eddie Murphy, Robin Williams. And then, oh, you remember Jim Carrey? Oh, those great Jim Carrey movies. Like,
oh, Jim was the shit in the 90s.
He was, exactly. And that's what ends up happening because all the other guys lasted throughout, you know.
They had more of a longevity.
I did want to say something about The Mask, though.
Please.
It's a hard PG-13. If it's, if it's pushed towards kids, like wrong pocket, pulling out a condom.
That was no, a fucking used condom. That wasn't just like in the wrapper.
That reservoir tip was full.
he literally was like, I mean, he even said, he's like, I become a love-crazed, horny maniac.
Yeah.
And that's what I am. I'm like a cartoon, but I was like, you're a little rapey.
You know,
and a little excited there with those chicks.
But I do think that as we get older, I feel like we're getting softer.
Oh, there's totally more PC.
I feel like we look back on this shit and we go, oh my God, I can't believe I watched this as a kid. Like,
everyone smoked cigarettes.
It
didn't
fuck you up. Like movies were not the thing.
I didn't resonate to that joke that, oh, wrong pocket and threw a condom.
That's the first time I saw that condom when I watched
that
it this
shit
time.
Goes over your head as a kid because you don't understand the reference. Like the Pulp Fiction reference in Space Jam? No kid. No.
Right.
And like nobody. And when you go back and watch it, you go, oh, shit, there's a Pulp Fiction reference.
Yeah, you're like, that's funny as shit, yeah.
You know, so it's throwing stuff in there for the parents to be able to stay awake.
So I guess I'm just defining my shock as the adult watching it again. Because I'm going, condoms, grabbing titties.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Talking about fucking the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, PG-13, like, I don't know, there wasn't, like, any, like, they didn't say fuck at all in it.
No.
And it wasn't, like, brutal or anything like that. But it was definitely superly, like, sexualized. Like, I mean, like, the whole
world. Yeah, it was suggestive,
Very, yeah.
But it was also pigeonholing a lot of stereotypes there.
Oh,
and when he was,
fuck yeah.
When he was French, he was just horny, thorny. He's like, I am a red, red rose, and I am a little thorny.
Oh, honestly,
like,
I was like, I don't know.
I was cracking up.
I don't know if this shit would fly now, dude.
Have you met the French? I'm just saying. The French think they invented afternoon sex. I'm just saying.
I mean, it throws it on its head. It's so funny because, like, him with the little cigarette and flicks it.
Yeah, no, I loved his performance in it. All the stuff with the mask was cool. I liked the movie as a kid because it felt like a superhero movie to me.
Yeah,
And him fighting the boss at the end, like the dog getting it, how it like kind of like made all of them different and stuff.
I love the Looney Tunes stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the first time I saw it, I'm like, why don't they do this? Like, he could be Hulk. Yeah, whoever's doing that could be Hulk. Like, why aren't they doing this now? Like, but
because wasn't it Loki? Wasn't it? Like,
it was a Loki mask.
Yeah, it was a Loki.
It was the whole
mask.
Thing. Right, it was a mischief mask. Yeah.
I was looking for my mask. Found it.
Yeah.
Got it. Got it. I loved it. What would you give it, Tone?
I mean, as it stands right now with nostalgia, I'd say 8.5.
Right,
as like an entertainment.
Yeah.
Like I would watch it if it's on TV, as well as I didn't mind sitting through now.
Honestly,
and
like I can totally get stoned and watch that movie
anytime. It's got its core, you know, looking at the props, like the big teeth he wears, but still, it's impressive.
Those teeth are insane.
He talked through those suckers.
I would say The Mask is one of those because of the nostalgia, Jim Carrey's performance, and how gorgeous Cameron Diaz is in it. It's one of those, I call it a butt naked movie. If you come out of the shower and you walk into your room and it's on TV, you will just sit in your towel until it's over.
Nice.
You'll just sit in your towel until it's over.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, all right, I'm done. And people are like, you're not dressed yet? It's been an hour and a half. It's like,
sorry,
the mask was on.
Yeah, they're like, the mask was on.
Yeah.
She had just walked into the bank for the first time.
Yeah.
And
you can't turn that off.
Yeah.
All right, so movie of the week, Cape Fear. This is the first time I saw it.
1991.
Holy shit.
91? All right, I'm going to look up the box office stuff. Go ahead.
The definition of moral gray area for the fucking protagonist.
Oh, fucking,
that guy is a dirty, dirty lawyer.
Yeah,
you don't really feel like rooting for fucking
Nick Nolte at first.
I don't know.
I felt like I was
I feel like the whole... It was so dated to me because of the attitudes that it would even make fly. Like the whole plot in and of itself.
Oh, it's completely cheese now.
Well, it's not the fact that it's cheese. It's a very real thing, but the fact that there was even controversy about it.
Oh, it was
back then. Like, because in the film, in the context of the film, I'm talking about controversy.
Right.
He buries the evidence that the victim was promiscuous.
Right, so to make the harder case for the rape.
Right, so, and he got it down to a sexual battery.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
instead of rape, to put him away for a longer period of time. Now, De Niro is so indignant.
Yeah.
And Republican presidential candidate Fred Thompson is also indignant because he's talking about oh, well, you buried the evidence. How could you do this?
Right.
It's like, dude, it doesn't fucking matter, because then the girl would be on trial instead of the client.
Right.
Yes, and, called up for her promiscuous nature.
He did the right thing by burying the evidence.
He's like,
did
you see the pictures? And the guy was even like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Burying's burying.
And he did what he did to her. The man's an animal. He needs to be put away.
I felt the same way you did. I didn't feel like that there was
I guess I just felt like everyone calls him sleazy. Everyone, his wife that he cheats on, but he's his boss.
He's sleazy because he cheats on his wife, not because he protected a rape victim.
And I'll give you that.
I know.
I guess like they really put the fear of like what was happening into you by him having that 15-year-old daughter.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. Why you fucking felt
that's
terrified,
because that's the pair of eyes you see at the beginning. Yeah. And eventually, it's all about the fear of him getting her.
Yeah. And Jessica Lange,
the wife. Yeah, Jessica Lange. Like she's like, I'll take it. And I was almost like, oh, this is
Jessica
Lange not gonna get it.
Yeah,
like, geez,
psychopath in that movie. Jessica Lange.
Yeah, she's
Jesus
a
Christ.
Awful woman.
Just fucking she plays a fucking cunty bitch really well.
Yeah. But you know what's weird? 1991, and I mean look this up if I'm wrong. But I feel like Silence of the Lambs came out that same year.
Huh.
Typing.
And so it was this rural horror where it's like,
oh, so you're talking about like De Niro's like his character, that kind of like backwoodsy.
Yeah,
type.
You have this like weird, because it's almost Buffalo Billish. You
know?
Like,
I totally agree.
Because it's like, oh man, like he's this indestructible. My daddy handled snakes in the church, and my granny swallowed strychnine. You know, it's like in the circus, and he's like holding that road flare, and he's like
just leaking all over his hand. And shit, after he got boiling water on his face.
He's like,
trying to cook me something hot.
Yeah, you're trying to offer me something hot,
sexy bitch.
Yeah, trying to offer me something.
No,
hot.
No, it's the weirdest De Niro.
I think you. Oh, I liked it a lot though. I thought he
did weirdest De Niro I've ever.
I feel like
counselor,
you
there?
Yeah, counselor. He actually talks to the judge as if the judge is.
Yeah,
it's the breaking that fourth wall, but it's also, is he looking up to God as judge?
Because like, he's completely delusional.
Yes.
He doesn't. And he was.
Oh, when he's in the boat. Yeah, he does. Yeah. I thought that was a cool take
he's
on
like,
it.
Hello.
He turns back to the camera and just looks
but
at dead
the camera's
in the lens.
Above him. So
right.
He's looking
up but looks
and
at,
then
dead
shooting
at
down.
The bench.
Yeah.
He's looking up at the bench.
Okay.
Looking up at the judge.
That's what's, they're trying to make that. But I thought that
if
was
you're
a
in
neat
a courtroom. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Way to do it, because you don't really. I mean, the mask broke the fourth wall. I don't know if you guys caught that.
Yeah,
but,
but he's there. He's like in his head. He's in.
Yeah, it's him being a fucking psycho.
Courtroom.
And he's winning, and he feels he has all the leverage.
And so Nolte was good, and it was before, like, I don't know what the fuck happened. Nick Nolte and
Nick
Al Pacino.
Nick just drank.
No, Nick Nolte and Al Pacino sound like they swallowed a carton of Marlboro Reds in the early 90s. Like, I don't know what happened. But all of a sudden, Pacino starts talking like this. And all of a sudden, Nick Nolte starts sounding like this after a while.
Dude, his weird grunts and screams at the end
were
so fucked up. He's like, like, you sound like the Crypt Keeper coming like so many times.
One thing about the sound that bugged me was when the wife, when Jessica Lange was begging for him to help, like, take her.
Yeah.
Every sentence, it was, and then if you just
so she's the draw of the breath kind of fucked
you
up.
The draw of the breath was almost like, no, I knew it was in post, like they dubbed it over, but I was like, man, it's a thick gas.
But, you know, I also felt like because she was covering her mouth every time she tried to say something is because she couldn't even imagine those words coming out of her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
But she's trying to overcome her horror to save her daughter.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, right that's on. Why she keeps covering her mouth, because her body is just being like, shut the fuck up. No,
what are you
don't
doing,
do
dummy?
This. And her mind is going, I have to save my
she's
child.
She's like looking at the wall going, I want it.
Yeah. And it's just like, I have to, I made this life. Like, I have to protect it.
Yeah.
And so, like that. And also, can we just say the PI, who is the...
Oh, the hotshot.
The CIA agent from GoldenEye.
Yeah.
nice.
Yeah, he's calls James Bond Jimmy. The only guy
Never missed a lunch.
Jimmy. Yeah, exactly.
Never missed a lunch.
Oh, my God. It's so great. He's great. And he drinks Jim Beam and Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, that's his drink. His dad
used to drink. My dad is drink on steakouts. I was like, is that to take care of the heartburn?
I couldn't fathom the taste.
That sounds fucked.
It's just... You know, I hung out in the South a lot, and...
Is that a thing?
No, it's not a thing.
Serve that with gumbo?
But, like, you know...
Serve that with gumbo.
There's a
when
thing...
When you the shrimp and trawler, did you have that?
Jesus. There's a thing with, like, white boys in the South who are just, like, straight crazy-ass hillbillies, who I love. I just... Some of my favorite people. But they just drink no matter what. Like, that's their cultures. They just fucking drink whiskey. And so... if you have a sensitive stomach or if you have acid
you
reflux,
just do both at once.
You're like, well, fuck it. I'm not going
to
stop drinking whiskey. Like, no.
This
like,
ulcer's not going to stop my drinking.
No. So I'm just going to mix it with Pepto-Bismol.
Jesus Christ.
And that's hillbilly logic 101. Like, well, if I drink it with Pepto-Bismol, it'll be good for me.
Or like lighting off firecrackers, but you're like, I'll take a Tylenol before I do because I know it's going to give me a smashing migraine.
So like that's, I mean, that was really, it was a nice touch.
It's clever, because I was like, I get why he's doing it. Yeah. It's not a taste thing.
No.
It's practicality
of
the thing.
It just felt like the real South for a second, and I was like, oh my God.
Where did it take place again?
Oh, I forget what town.
It was Florida or Georgia or something.
Yeah, it was
like
something.
That,
yeah. It was a southern.
They're on like a
they're
fucking
on a river.
Boat in the river, yeah. The river turned into a fucking ocean which, at the end of it, it seemed like, Jesus Christ. The shots of it, I was like, well, that's definitely in the sound stage because there's nothing around it.
I don't know how mentally you can prepare your body for anything the way that De Niro's character did, but
yeah.
I was like, I think he's dead now. Nope. No. I think he's dead now.
Yeah.
Nope.
He's like fucking
just
Michael Myers.
Literally, there's a point in the where they're like, I'll throw the rock at you after I hit you with the rock, and then if you want, you can try to hit me again. Yeah. I'm just going to laugh at all.
That was so funny when he throws the rock at Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte's like,
he makes
the stupidest fucking sound.
Yeah, he does, because he's trying to get up, and he's like, damn you.
And the rock bounces off his face like it looks like foam. Oh, God. There's so like the shots in that movie look so cheese. And like the fighting,
the foreground,
and so,
background,
yeah,
where
him
mirror.
Like zooming up real close, or he had like a fucking Dutch tilt on keys and shit. Like it was just so cheap.
Well, there's also the double focus,
which is rough. But I will say this in defense of the fight, and I kind of had to say this to myself about Jessica Jones too, is that nobody in this movie knows how to fucking fight.
No, they're both being sloppy.
So like, and so when they look like shit fighting around, you're like, this is what any fight between two untrained men would look like.
A lawyer and a prisoner.
Right. But like the guy is like, he didn't learn martial arts. Because like that's the one thing I don't like about 2005, like post-Matrix. Everything post-Matrix
everyone
knows kung fu now.
Everyone blocks everything.
Yeah. They're all ninjas.
No, I wouldn't block anything if I got in a real street fight. It'd be a swing fest.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really a fighter. I'm not a boxer.
That'd be so great. That's like the end of a movie. Just dudes throwing
Hail
Marys
at each other until one guy's knocked out.
Haymakers. All right, we got him.
Yeah.
So like that's really what it's about. And so you're like, oh, God, this is gross. And you see it, but the most terrifying things weren't when he was face to face. It was the scariest shit was when he was on
calls.
The phone with Juliette Lewis and like,
dude,
know.
And him making out with
it was
her.
The
that
subtlety.
Part, fucking, I was like, this is
her sucking his fingers.
Yeah,
was like, that was
right when I was like, oh, she's fucking 15 and he's so old and creepy and shitty.
I also loved when he handed Jessica Lange the collar.
Yeah.
And it clicks in her head when he was like, he just starts describing the dog.
The part
she's
where
like, son of a bitch,
where, sleeping at your feet
as you're doing your drawings.
Yeah. he takes the girl from the bar. Nick Nolte's kind of like chick that he's not fucking, but probably is fucking. He
bites her face off,
dude. Yeah, what the fuck? I mean, spoilers, bites
her
cheek off,
snaps her arm too.
Oh yeah, no, that first break, I was like, oh Jesus Christ, being in handcuffs and having your arm broken, and him probably still holding on to it the whole time. That's, and then bite your fucking face, Jesus Christ, that poor chick.
That, I mean, that was like Hannibal Lecter-ish.
Oh, for sure,
and that's the sacrifice of almost an like the innocence sacrifice that wasn't his daughter, thankfully.
Yeah.
Because she was like, no, I'm not going to like end this story. I'm not going to end the conflict because I'm going to not drag you in there with it.
Her narrative was kind of cool, too, like at the end. Yeah. Like she, and the score was fucking
I was
going to
say, I can't tell if that score, I guarantee if I was my age and I was living in 91 and I went to the theater to see that, I'd be horrified by the music in 91.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, God, it's so fucked up and loud.
It's overbearing as fuck.
And you had to think, too, with that negative flip. Like 91, they might not have seen a lot of that kind of shit.
And it wasn't
because Paul was like, "Oh boy."
No, I saw. Jesus Christ, the negative. Whoa, this is really insane.
Well, here we go.
What was once black is now white.
Yeah. And so like that, and they did the negative too when Nolte hallucinated De Niro in the bedroom.
Yeah,
and at the beginning, and
smoking
the
cigar. Yeah.
And so I mean, but I also think Juliette Lewis stuffing the lighter fluid down her pants. I was like, I had a Jurassic Park moment where I was like, clever girl. You know he smokes, and he's going to just fucking
see, I didn't even put it together. She saw she doesn't even have a lighter. And then like he fucking lights up, and I was like, ah! oh, I'm dumb. Yeah. I would have gotten raped.
Right? Like, nothing good would have happened on that boat.
And so he would have, because like, yeah, Jurassic Park had still another 2 years before it came out, but he just drops a cigar, clever girl, falls out the boat, burning alive. But like, you know, it was.
Survive that shit.
It was so fucked up. I mean, it was just, it was creepy because he's not coming to kill anybody.
No, he just wants to fuck you up, like mentally. He just wants you to suffer like he did.
He's gonna make you suffer, but he's also gonna just violate.
Yeah.
Oh, violate
everything
your comfort.
You hold sacred. He wants you to like show be broken, and because then he'll maybe kill
you. He talks about that. He's like, he talks about being succumbing to battles, and he's like, five sweaty, nasty white men coming to my cell at night, and then he's like, or black. Who knows? Yeah. Like, you know, like he's like, dude, I was raped by everything until I started getting strong. Yeah. Like, I'm going to fucking take away all of your fucking comfort and make you fear what comes in the night. And that was eerie as shit. I'm like,
and also what shows up in the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking,
gotcha.
All right. What would you rate it?
Oh, I love Cape Fear for what it is.
I think the original was better. And I want to stress.
And I haven't seen that.
I want to stress Robert Mitchum is fucking amazing, and I love his cameo, and I love that Gregory Peck is the fucking lawyer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, Atticus Finch is his lawyer. Yeah. This is great. This is great.
I love it. I mean, I give it like at least, you know, 6.5. Give it a 7.
Yeah. I was thinking 6.5 in my head. I was like, for the camera work, the storyline's awesome. Performances are good.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And then
it
opened up a lot of doors.
Kind of meh.
Yeah. For
the fucking Jessica Lange was awesome. Fucking batshit crazy. And Juliet Lewis was good, but not amazing.
She's still young.
Yeah.
I mean,
Juliet Lewis is the ultimate white trash jailbait.
Yeah.
No,
for sure.
No matter how
what's eating
old
Gilbert
she
Graves?
Is. Yeah. No matter how old she is. Because you're just like, ooh.
Ooh, she's all types of.
She's like,
shapes and sizes.
But I was like, no, you're not old enough to be that. Even in Natural Born Killers, you're just like.
Yeah, or it's like the Christina Ricci feel.
Yeah,
like,
or
oh,
like
she's young,
kid.
Right? She's still young.
Yeah,
Wednesday, you're going to bang Wednesday.
Like yikes.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I felt. Like, in like,
No, what do you want to watch
no,
next week,
No, I was
going to
say in Black Snake Moan, I was like, she seems so young. I know she's playing
can
a 20-something, but.
Can I just say, De Niro. I love Robert De Niro, and I'm disappointed by the last
few
15 years of Robert De Niro. But like, Cape Fear was not good for him. I feel like he did a decent job with what he had, but I feel like if someone else was in that movie would be more of a cult hit.
Oh, for them, yeah.
Yeah, because, just in general, the movie itself would have been elevated because De Niro doesn't have that much range. I feel
De Niro
is excellent at what he does.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, De Niro's never going to play a transvestite.
Yeah,
you know what
De Niro,
I mean? De Niro's never going to play a soft, sensitive type. De Niro's got hard-nosed, like, De Niro's a physical, domineering presence. And besides, like, Awakenings, I can't think, with Robin Williams, I can't think of anything where he's kind of like a quiet dude. Like, a quiet dude who's not menacing.
Yeah. I mean, he always gives, like, that sort of rough edge
performance. Yeah, he's a menacing person.
Even Meet the Fockers, man. You know, Meet the Parents.
He's
same.
A dick,
yeah. Always just a dick, dude.
There's a few scenes where he, like, loosens up or is happy at the end, but...
That's where I started, like, with Meet the Parents is when I just started to be like, oh...
This is
happening
to his career.
Huh?
Yeah.
Like, oh, are we there yet?
Oh. Are we there yet again?
Yeah. I was like, Robert De Niro, stop. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Just...
And he's like... $20 million, I can phone on
honestly,
every scene.
Dude, like,
he just showed up to do this movie with fucking Anne Hathaway, and I'm like, oh god, I was like, why? Just stop. Like Danny Collins, what the fuck is Al Pacino doing? Like, both those guys need to stop. Everybody who was amazing method actor from the 70s should not be working right now.
They should just be chilling on
Dustin Hoffman, Jack Nicholson, Robert Redford, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro,
just hang out.
Just go into a fucking home somewhere. just
watch
chill.
Your old movies.
Yeah.
And just chill. Be with your families.
Yeah.
Just be with your families. Warren Beatty's been doing it since fucking Bullworth.
Yeah.
Like, just stop it. Just stop
man,
it.
Such a good movie.
All right, so I got two suggestions. Movie of the week, I want to do Primal Fear.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've never seen it. Sounded cool.
So good.
Test of Tony, I want you to watch Space Jam.
Nice.
Here's your chance to your dance at the Space Jam.
Oh, you know it. You seen
it. Greatest soundtrack of the 90s. Bar none. Fuck Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I almost wish I could end the
show
like that.
Well, fucking thanks for being on, dude. Yeah.
Hey, no yeah, yeah. Thanks for coming on. We'll have you on soon again. And until next time. Oh, yeah. Do you have anything to promote?
Yeah, man.
I have a couple of shows coming up, but I will hold off on those until a later date. But I will say this. Fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Cool.
Go burn books.
Perfect.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Podcast Channel production, executive produced by Bob Camparta, Paul Wolf, and Sean Ast. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.podbean.com.